My dear family here at St. Marcus, grace and peace are yours from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I don't know if you eat before you come to worship or you're waiting to eat afterwards, but I have something for you to ponder today. A hamburger. Now, this doesn't look very exciting. Now, maybe there's some vegan or vegetarians out there. No offense. Maybe there's some very hungry people who love beef, and this is going to be tough for you to focus on. But my mom would be disappointed with this hamburger. My mom has always said, if you're going to have something, you can have it. If you're going to have chocolate, have the really good stuff. And if you're going to have a burger, enjoy it and dig into it and just take it in richly. If you're going to do it, if you're going to get that calories, you're going to do that, get the most out of it. Now, I'm going to count to three. And if you're somebody who likes burgers, I want you to say where you'd like to go and get a burger. And if you're really excited, say it a little louder. If you're kind of embarrassed, you can say it more quietly. One, two, three. I hear some of you are mighty affordable. That's nice. That's good. Now, if you want to have a really good burger and get it rich, I was introduced when I came to Milwaukee with Brian Davis, and then he took me to, anybody know where this is from? Fuddruckers. Fuddruckers, yes, where you get to go and you get to get a burger, and then you have a whole buffet just to put on top of it. That's not my sort of burger. That's, my wife loves it. But then you can get all the stuff, and you can try all the different ways, and you can just chew on it in different ways and get the richness right out of it. But if you're from Milwaukee, if you're really Milwaukee, and you want to get the original Butterburger, at least they say it's the original Butterburger, it's not Culver's, I heard that's not the original Butterburger, where would you go? You'd go to? You know. That's the next one. I forgot about this one. This is, if you're from northern Wisconsin, you might go to Hardee's. Now, yes, if you look carefully at this burger, there is a hot dog on top, and there's potato chips on the bottom. Just take that. I believe Hardee's believes this is the restaurant for people who just don't care anymore. Just come. But, I mean, to get all that and to try that, but you should go definitely to, go to Sally's. They don't have as sophisticated pictures. If you haven't been there, it's just like a house where you come on in and your grandma makes you a hamburger and puts a stick of butter on top. Usually the burgers look like that, except there's usually a pool of butter at the bottom. Now, if you're going to have a burger, enjoy it, get the richness out of it, but this is something you can't do every day. You shouldn't do this every day. Lutherans are big into moderation, but today we're focusing on how we need to take in for our souls and feed our souls, and God doesn't want us to practice moderation when it comes into taking in God's word. We're going to see that we are going to let God's word live in us richly. Just take it in. For every calorie you see there, every bit of the Holy Spirit's going to come into you, and we're going to use this as a little bit of a theme, but let's get into God's word. The lesson is printed for you in your bulletins. It'll also be on the screen. It's from Colossians. Paul's writing a letter to the Christians in Colossae, a congregation that had some new believers, obviously, and they were being assaulted by some different people. But listen to what he tells them to do to get away from the dangers. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And this is God's word. Based upon these words, I'm going to share a message with you that says, let Christ's word live in you richly. And we're going to see two directions, kind of you singular and you plural. First, let it live in yourself. Be personally busy about letting it live inside you. But then also, let it live in your congregation, in your community. Now, as I said, the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the Christians in Colossae, and he wrote it for a reason. They were being attacked. They were being led astray, and maybe you've heard Pastor Hine and others talk about some of the different teachers that were undoing the Apostle Paul's work. And one of those groups was the Judaizers. Now, I didn't find an actual picture of a Judaizer, but I think that's what they'd look like. The Judaizers, they kind of had this message. This is a summary. It was much, I'd say, more subtle than this, or complicated than this, but basically, you are saved by Christ and something, by Christ and by being circumcised. And that was a very stealth message. A lot of believers were Jews. They had been circumcised. They were used to that. It was part of their faith life. And it wasn't a sin to be circumcised. And just a generation before this, if you were going to follow the Lord, you probably were going to be circumcised. If you were going to come into the Jewish family, that's what you did. And so now that Christ had died and risen, that didn't need to be done anymore. But it was tough. It was confusing. People struggled with it, including some of the apostles and different people. So it was a difficult message, but it is a big deal. On the outside, you might think it's not a big deal, but it is. Being saved by Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone, is completely different than Christ and anything. This completely undermines the message, and if you fall for this, you eventually lose it all. Now, the Apostle Paul was fighting against this message, and he didn't say, well, in contrast to that, instead of listening to the Judaizers, listen to me. Focus on what I'm telling you. He said, no, it actually goes deeper than that. I want you to listen to the message of Christ, to let Christ's word live in you, not a little bit, but richly. This is a key verse a lot of people memorize, Colossians 3:16. If you're looking for an activity to do this week, memorize this verse, and it starts, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. It's kind of a mixed picture. I mean, you've got the message, the logos of Christ, and then you take this message and you treat it like a person, and he's going to live somewhere, and then he's going to live richly. How do you live richly? So I want to kind of talk about the words a little bit. That word, dwell. You take the message of Christ that he was crucified for you. It's not Christ and, it's Christ alone. And now it lives in you. In you. The word among there, I don't think is the best translation. It's not next to us. It's not in the neighborhood. It's inside of us. And it's a rich living. And maybe you've lived somewhere where you didn't live very richly or intently. When I was a kid, the house I lived in, I lived in it. I mean, I lived in it thoroughly because I was born and placed in that house. I lived there for 18 years. I got to know every spot in that house. I knew the bad spots on the roof. I knew the spots in the basement where you could find the mice. I knew in my brother's closet where on one side in the winter, shirts would get frozen to the wall. I knew where the cracks were in all the windows. I knew everything about that house. I knew every single area. I knew the lawn. I'd lived there. I made full use of it. And that's the picture. God wants his word, the message of Christ, to not just visit you, not to just stop on by and stay for the night, but to live in and thoroughly occupy you. And you know the difference. When I moved here in Milwaukee, I lived first on Hubbard Street. I rented a spot. We knew we weren't going to live there long because it was like a one-bedroom place, and I have a wife and six kids. So we had to close the oven to sit down at the table. It was really, really close and tight. It was great to live. I mean, I have a great wife and a great family, but we weren't planning on staying there for the next 10 years. So I didn't hang any pictures up. I didn't worry about making the basement any more inviting. My wife hated that basement. And the laundry down there, it was a scary spot to go. I didn't work on it because we're going to be leaving. Or maybe you've gone to a hotel, and if you're like me, you go to the hotel and you see these drawers, right? And you go, I'm not putting anything in the drawers. Who here puts stuff in the drawers when they go to a hotel room? Anybody? Pastor Hine. There we go. Yeah. I mean, maybe if I'm going to be there for a couple weeks, but one day I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not moving in. I think I only did it once, and I left everything there. You just don't want to take a chance. And maybe there's some issues in the room, but I'm leaving. I'm not invested. And Paul says what you need is for God's word, the message of Christ, to be invested in you and live in you and do it absolutely richly, to get the most out of it, just to the multiplicity, just the deepness. And that fits with the theme that we've been following here, the infinite depth of God's word. There's a lot of stories or jokes, like if you know dad jokes, and I'm a dad, so I know dad jokes, I'm not going to tell you any, but I really like them. But they come and they go and they disappear, right? And you can listen to them again, and they're still shallow. That's all there is, right? It's just a bad pun that dad thinks is funny. But God's word, you can get and get again. And there's something there. There's something even more. Oh, I didn't even see that. It's there. You just haven't explored it. It's like having this house that has 50 bedrooms. And every day, I didn't even know this room was there. And you check it out. Oh, look at that. There's a slide over here. And you find something new. And that you go back in the same room. And then you discover, oh, I didn't even really notice the art in that room. That's what the message of Christ dwelling in us richly is like. Now, unfortunately, it's really easy not to let it dwell richly. I think for the Colossians, a lot of them were maybe new to it. They were new to this message of Christ. They needed to bulk up and let the Holy Spirit move on in even more. Maybe you know that in America, I think you could easily accuse American Christianity of letting the message of Christ visit us or just take us. Where people claim to be Christian, they use the title, they know some Bible passages, they go to church on occasion, but it doesn't affect the rest of their life. You don't necessarily notice it. It's the weakness of having a country that kind of had a Christian culture by default. We didn't have to do it richly. You could kind of slide, and there you were, looking like a Christian on the outside, maybe barely hanging on. My friends from Zambia, when they came and visited America and they saw us, they went, wow, you guys aren't really into it that much, are you? You're not really all buying in. There's just something different. Like, we have all these opportunities and resources, but we just aren't going for it. They notice that difference. I think it's a weakness for us, one we can easily fall into as we take maybe Christianity for granted. Now, maybe as our culture and society and Christianity is dying out, this ends up changing a little bit. The Colossians were under attack, and as we're under attack, we're going to have to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. It's the word of Christ, so we don't fall for the Jesus and. Christ and. Faith and. Grace and. Now, two ways that we can do this is, first, we let it live in ourselves. It's a personal thing. I've heard other people say things like this, and I think I may have stolen it or adopted it. But when it comes to letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, I kind of see four different ways that happens. It's in rows, like this. It's in circles, like small groups. It's in pairs, one-on-one. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your best friend or accountability partner. And it happens in the closet, where it's just you and the Lord. And the first verses from chapter 16 talk about how this can dwell in you personally by yourself. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, even though Paul is addressing this to the whole congregation, this is very personal. It doesn't talk about interaction. It really focuses on an individual's hearts and minds. This is the heart is your mission, your drive, what you're looking for, what you're all about, what you do everything else for. You just got to do this. We want to focus on the raised Christ, the resurrected Christ, not the dead Christ, not the Christ that did some things so you can save yourself, but the resurrected Christ. And we put it on the inside so our thoughts just kind of dwell on it. It's our mission. We just have to do it. We let it live in ourselves. We let it be our guide. We let it be everything for us. Now, how do you do this? It's tough. In America, if you ask people to do something, they'll normally say, I don't have enough time. People like to say they don't have enough money, and maybe you don't have enough money, but usually you have more money than time. If you want people to feed the hungry, they're more likely to write you a check. Well, they don't write a check anymore. They're more likely to give you money than to go and help you distribute it. Time is so precious. There just isn't enough time. And so you squeeze everything out, and guess what? The word of Christ dwell in you just doesn't seem to have the urgency. Because I don't notice my faith leaking away. I don't notice it. Most of that is proactive and trying to build things. And I can get to that tomorrow, but I do have to pay the bills. I do have to take care of this. My kid has this. It just sneaks away. Now, I spent a lot of time working around schools, and I was was in St. Marcus, and that's what happens. The urgency of just keeping schools going allows sometimes the message of Christ to kind of be pushed to the side. It just happens. I mean, Satan, that's all he wants to get rid of. He just wants to get rid of that, but let everything else happen. You have to intentionally work at that, and you need to do it individually. How do you find time? Well, pull out your schedule, take a look at it, and get rid of something. You have to get rid of something. You can't have 50 people living in a house that doesn't fit. You have to tell some people to move out before somebody else can move on in. Same with this. Maybe there's something in your life you can get rid of, or maybe you can squeeze with some time you're not making full use of. And with technology in 2019, we can do that. Okay, here's some examples of things. And I didn't get paid by St. Marcus to advertise their app or Time of Grace, just like I didn't get any advertising money from Sally's. But we have that technology. And you might have all that technology on your phone, but you aren't looking at totally maximizing it. On your drive to work, on your walk. This morning, I got to listen to Pastor Hines' sermon from about the flood while I was taking my walk around town because I need to get some exercise because I like to have a good burger. I need that exercise, and I got to squeeze in time. I could listen to something fun. I could listen to a SportsCenter podcast, but guess what? I don't really have time for that. I need to let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly and to listen to sermons and messages. And there's so many good ones out there. You can talk to friends and find out, let that happen. Or just listen to the Bible straight and just take it in, that one-on-one time. Find that time. Go home, shut everything off, and go in your closet and say, it's just me and you time. Really, if you don't have 15 minutes to do that, do you have time for anything else? And that is so key, to let it live in you richly and work on it. But that individual way, that can be tough. God invented the church so you don't have to do it alone. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think right now about what you might do individually, by yourself. Maybe you need something. Maybe you're going to do something. I want you to think, what am I going to do to let Christ's word live in me this week? And now I'm going to give you 28 seconds, either to tell somebody next to you or write it down or text somebody what you think you're going to do. How are you going to do it? Go ahead. This is where you can talk out loud. Go ahead. Okay, let's bring it back to the normal Rose way where I'm doing all the talking in 2 and 1 and 0. Now, I had you do that because as I've heard and learned, if you're really going to make a change, you actually need to say it, put it into words, tell somebody, especially somebody that you're going to see later. You have to do that. And that is what is a perfect segue for talking about how, yeah, you need to do this individually, let the Word of Christ live richly in you. But you can't just stay in your closet. God designed community and people to do this, so you need to get in a pair, you need to get in a circle, you need to get in rows. But especially that circle and that pairing up seems to be especially powerful and useful. So let's look at the second part where we want Christ's word to live in us richly in our congregation with our community. We go back to that verse 16, but we finish it to the end. That the message of Christ among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Now, in English, you can't tell, but that word you is really you plural. It's you all if you're from Texas. Where you're saying, okay, you go, and now you all do this. Not just the pastor, not just some people, not just, but you all do it. You all do it, and you teach and admonish. You proactively instruct, but you also correct and adjust, and you watch each other and help each other do it, and you do it to one another. And in the Greek, it's kind of a reflexive thought. It's not like, okay, now I talk to you and teach and admonish you, and now it's your turn, you teach and admonish me. No, as we do this, as I'm teaching and admonishing you, I'm learning too. The word of Christ is coming into me. And when you talk to me, you're actually listening to yourself as well. That's the way language works. It's between the mouth and the ear. You can talk to Dr. Lorenz, and how do you really learn language? Not by sitting looking at a book and thinking about it, but by saying it. And when you say it, it sticks. You want to memorize a Bible passage. Don't look at it and read it in your head. Read it out loud and get your brain and your mouth and your ears all working at the same time, and it lives in you. That's how you do it. That's why you need to get together with somebody else that you can talk to in a circle, in a pair. And while you're being a blessing to them, it's being a blessing to you. I was assigned to read a book for teaching adults. It's by Linda Nilsen. It's called Teaching at Its Best. And in that book, she spends a big section about saying, if you want the people to be learners, you need to turn them into teachers. The best way to learn anything is to teach it. So in your classroom, you set it up and you do this, and now you teach that person what you learn. You go back and forth, and some people hate that. My kids never liked doing that, but it actually really works. And so if you want to learn and let the word of Christ dwell in you, you have to take your turn teaching it. And sometimes I think we've been scared away, like, oh, you might say something wrong. Well, you might, but so does everybody. That's how you learn. That's how you do it. You have to have a chance to speak propositionally and try it out. But then the other person come back and say, I don't think you're saying that, or I don't think that's what the Bible says. And you go back and forth and you learn from each other and you get it in there richly. And I think sometimes our old culture of Wells Church, we want to get God's word right, that people were so afraid to try to speak it if they didn't have a master's degree that they didn't. And they never practiced it. They never got a chance to do it. They were too afraid to make an error. So here is a pastor telling you, go make a lot of mistakes when you're trying to speak God's word. Make a lot of mistakes, because that's how you're going to learn. Try it and have that group around you that gives you that feedback, those small groups, those community groups. That's how you really get the tools to navigate. Maybe this is why Pastor Hines always talks about those community groups. He advertises it all the time, right? Because as a pastor, he knows this is where it really makes the big difference. You can look at some books. I read different books. When they measure congregational health and spiritual health, it's not from sitting in the rows. It's sitting in the circles and the pairs and actually having people talk and share and being in a comfortable spot where they can do it, and they learn from one another and they learn from themselves. As you were singing hymns today, you also were listening to yourself sing those hymns. And that's where we're going to go in a little bit when we get to the music. But first, we want to do this with all wisdom. Paul is definitely contrasting the words of the Judaizers and what they thought was the great teaching. And he's saying, if you're going to do this, you do have to have the right message, the wisdom. Christ crucified and risen for you, not Christ and. And then to finish it off, it goes for all you music people, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I mean, music, what a gift from God, and God, all of God's gifts are for one purpose, our relationship with Him. And music, you can see it, and you can love it, and Martin Luther praised it, and we have it. Blessings in abundance here at St. Marcus. Psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Three different descriptions of music and the way it's done, whether that's straight from the Bible, somebody written about it, maybe something a little more simple. We don't really know. But this reminds us there isn't one right music form that conveys God's message. And we get to experience that at St. Marcus, where you can, one week we have an organ recital and we got timpani and trumpets, and then we have a gospel choir, and then we got a soloist singing something that sounds like opera, and then we got a little bit of country. We know all those styles work as long as you have that wisdom and you have the message of Christ there. And music is what lets it kind of dwell in richly. It kind of gets through the cracks of you a little bit, and some of you are especially music people. That's the way my wife is, that I think I could deliver a great sermon, but she's still going to remember the songs from the service. And maybe you can tell that because you go home and what's stuck in you, what's coming out of you? The music, right? I mean, I could, oh, there's that song over and over. That's when you know it's a really good song, when you take it with you, because that means it lives in you, right? That's a good song if you go home with it, or at schools, when you know you're doing well, when the kids get in the car and the first thing they do is not sing Baby Shark, which is a fine song, but they sing a Jesus song to their parents because it's in them, it's dwelling in them. And that's why St. Marcus invests in music for their school and everything, because that's how you do it, and what a gift. Now, something to notice, it says in the NIV, with gratitude in your hearts. We do need to have gratitude in our hearts, but I think the emphasis is a little different. It's the same word as grace there. And I think Paul's stressing that what you need when you sing all these songs is that you need the right message of it's Christ and not Christ and. You need to know you're saved by grace alone. And you get that by following God's word and making sure you have that really good music. But it doesn't have to come in one style. It's just the message. Now, I've been talking about letting the word of Christ dwell in you, and it fits with the word meditate. It fits with the word meditate. Now, this is the last week was the first week of the church plant that I get to be a privileged part of in Milwaukee at Hope Fidelis, and this is the same message I'm giving to them tomorrow. We're going through our core values, because that's a good thing for congregations to do. And the first one I chose is meditate. And this is the message I'm delivering. Now, the word meditate, when we share it with people, they might think, oh, I know what that means. That means sitting by myself and maybe finding a tone or a word and clearing everything out. Oh, you know, just let it go out. And that could be a good thing to do. I know a lot of relaxation, but that's not the meditate on God's word we're talking about. The word meditate actually is from a Latin word that means to measure, to line up, to check. It means to like bounce around and like double check this and look at that and, well, is that right? And examine it from this angle. That's meditate. And again, that fits with the series of infinite depth that you get the story of creation, and the first time you hear it, it's like, oh yeah, I got that. I know what God did. 6 days, everything, yeah. And then you look at it, oh, look at how the word kinds is used. And look at that, he made man out of the earth and he breathed in him. Well, that's a little different. What is that and how does that fit? And then maybe you take the rest of scripture and you let it explain that and you go over it and over it and over it again. Every time you check it, because it's so important, you want to get it right. And every time you check, you see something a little bit better. And that brings us back to my opening illustration about that Sully's burger. My recommendation for you, if you go to Sully's, if you like to eat burgers, don't eat that in 30 seconds. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're going to waste all of that. You're going to pay that money. You're going to wait, because it's just going to be gone. You're not going to enjoy all of it because you swallowed it without tasting it, without getting it. Instead, chew very slowly, take careful bites, make sure to get a little mushroom and get all that so it's just right, and savor it. Americans eat too fast, right? Just savor it. We don't need so much. We can enjoy it. We can do it. And that's what God wants us to do with his word as an individual and as a congregation, to let it live in us richly and know we're going to get more and more depth. And that is really our key to discipleship. If we want to serve him, if we want to do amazing things in the community, we want to tell God's word to somebody else. It all starts with us making sure we have God living in us richly. Now, if you know that Christ wants to live in you richly and you're going to invite him on in to stay and move in and put those pictures up, let me hear you say amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so happy and thrilled that Jesus Christ came as our Savior and paid for us, that we don't need anything else. We don't need Christ and anything. We have him by grace and through faith. We ask you to help us hang on to that message by letting that message dwell in us richly. Send out your Holy Spirit, pour in us deeply, and let us love one another, talking and sharing and getting together formally and informally in our families, in our congregation, in our community. We ask you to bless us with that. And so in all eternity, when we get to see you face to face, we can see the depth of your glory and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.